furtherance of the gospel, or let's talk to it on a relational sense, as a father or a mother or a husband or a wife, what am I willing to give up from me for my spouse? I want you to see that when God has done something for you, when He has done something for you in such a tangible way, something inside of you wants to make room for Him. Something inside of you turns hospitable, and you want to host the presence of God, and you want to thank the one who brought you out, and you want to rejoice in the one that that delivered you from sin and healed your body and put you in your right mind. When God has done something for you, you'll throw a dinner party, if you will, for the one who did it for you.
He walks into the missional court, the court of the Gentiles, where all nations should have access to God. He marches into that court, but the religious and church leaders are making it difficult for all nations to experience God, unlike we saw today. When all nations were represented by those who were being baptized in water. But it's interesting to me that right here in this passage, it's another business as usual day in the temple until Jesus shows up. I don't know about you, but I just love it when Jesus shows up. Isn't it amazing when Jesus decides to visit us and show up? And should not the church be the place where we are expecting Jesus to show up in our midst? We're sitting on the edges of our chairs, our pews, waiting for those supernatural surprise me moments when Jesus Himself arrives in the midst of His people.
We are so glad to have you all join us for this Refuel Conference. We appreciate all the work you do for the Kingdom of God, and we want to offer this weekend as a time of encouragement and refreshing.
You know, the Bible says in Acts that times of refreshment come from the presence of the Lord. And we know that as we gather together, that He will be in our midst, and He will manifest Himself, and He will refresh each and every one of you. He will refuel you, and that is the point of this conference. We want you to leave this place ready to go and minister in the Kingdom of Heaven. We understand that in this season, sometimes we can get burnt out, we can get tired, and so we have set aside this time so that we can come and be refueled, so that we can go and do what God has called us to do.
So what are you waiting for? Get in and get all God has for you.
Our next part of our Refuel Conference, we just want to invite you again to stand with us this morning, afternoon, whatever you want, the case may be at this time. I know we're full belly, but let's just enter into another time of praise and worship with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Dream to
the night. Wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I tried with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, the vagabond. Just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know. He told me that I was not alone. Oh, he picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart. Change my name, forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friend. Burden and bitterness, you can just keep on moving. Now you ain't welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I sing of how you saved my soul. Wayward son has found his way back. Oh, oh, oh. He picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free, I am free, I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free, I am free, I am free. Hell lost another one. On solid ground, I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Did for another, hey. He can do it again.
Okay.
That means what he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Okay.
That means what he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Okay.
That means what he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Okay.
That means what he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Okay.
That means what he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Okay.
All that means what he did for another,
hey. Hey.
He can do it again.
Because he picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart,
changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Whoa.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because He healed my heart. He changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior.
How many are thankful that there's no calories to the Spirit of God? You fill up your belly, but we're not full of the Spirit yet. We want more. Amen?
Yeah.
I want more. I want to see what else God has for me in this moment. So don't get tired on us.
Yeah.
No napping allowed. You can nap when you get home, but right now we're going to give God all we have. Amen?
Amen. We're full gospel preachers, but that means full gospel, not full bellies, right? We may have full bellies, but we want to continue to dive into the Word of God. We don't want to hold you too long. You may be seated. We're not going to do worship as long as we have been, because we know that. Listen, we've just been basking in the presence of the Lord, haven't we? Did you have a good time of fellowship? I pray that you just had a good time of fellowship, sitting around the table. What we want to do right now is, can we just give our teens a hand for serving us today and working so hard? We appreciate them. Yes. Thank you guys so much. And it's interesting to hear their conversations about how much work goes into something and how difficult it can be to plan things out and know things. And so they're getting to see some of the functionality of what churches do, and that's good. And you guys know our heart. Our heart has always been that we are not separate entities. We are one church. No matter what our age, what our ethnicity, we come together as one. And we're so excited to see God doing that. I know that I had a wonderful time. The fellowship got to meet a new friend. That's what I'm going to call her, a new friend during that. She came to our church for the first time today. She had to leave and go pick up her children. But she came to our church for the first time today. And how many know that, you know, there's a lot of work going in these things, but it's worth it. It's worth it for that, isn't it? When people come and feel like they're family, they feel like they're connected and God moves in their life. And so we are just so grateful. Thank you for all coming and supporting this and being a part of this. I know some of you drove quite a long ways. Some of you drove just a little bit from in town here, but we're just so grateful for all of you that are a part of this, and we're looking forward to this next session. Now, I just found out, I asked Bishop Ming if he had ever been to Cary, and he said this is the first time that he's ever been to the metropolis of Cary, Ohio. And so, but I wondered, because whether you realize this or not, he's born in Ohio. Marion, Ohio is where he was born, and so he's come back to his heart. That's what we're proclaiming anyway. No, I'm just teasing him. But we so appreciate Bishop Ming. We appreciate his heart and his ministry, and I know that what God has put in him for us is going to be powerful.
And so that's why we're joking around a lot and saying about, you know, your bellies are full and stuff, but you need to stay attentive because God is getting ready to speak. It's not just because our general bishop here is speaking. It's because God speaks to this man. And you need to hear what he has to say, what God has to say. Amen. So would you give Bishop Ming a warm Cary welcome as he comes for the first time in Cary, Ohio?
Thank you. Thank you so much for this warm welcome. It's so good to be with you today and to be here in Cary. Nick was bringing me from the airport. I think Nick's here somewhere. And we were headed here and we drove right through Marion. And we both just kind of celebrated for a few minutes. And I said, that's where the Lord dropped me into this world, is right there in Marion, Ohio. And now to be here with you today. Someone asked, well, you know, have you traveled through Ohio very much? And my response was, absolutely. Living in Michigan for several years of my life, we traveled through Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, all through this part of the country. Went to Cedar Point, I don't know how many times, the amusement park. In fact, I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ from going to Cedar Point when I was a kid. I went to Cedar Point and rode the bumper cars, and at that particular time, they didn't have as much cushion and padding on the bumper cars, and I hit someone and slammed my face into the steering wheel of the bumper car and split my lip wide open, and they had to take me over to the medical center, and I ended up with stitches from Cedar Point. So I bear in my body the marks, maybe not of the Lord Jesus, but of Cedar Point here today. It is a real blessing to be with you, and I'm honored to be invited by your pastors, Pastor Joe and Alicia. They're amazing people, not only as pastors, but leaders here in this district, and we are honored by them today. I want to thank them especially for this invitation. I'm also very grateful for your new district bishop, Bishop Isaac Shelton Jr., and Just thankful that our hearts are knit together in love and that God does amazing things in our midst. And then, of course, today, I don't know how I can end up following Pastor Russell Hilton after this morning's message. In fact, on the way here, I actually had Nick to stream the service, so I got to hear a little bit about Hophni and Phinehas here in the service. And so I know what the Lord has been speaking here at this Refuel conference in some measure. And may I just simply say that we want to be refueled. We don't want to serve and follow Jesus out of an empty spiritual tank, but out of a full spiritual tank. And that's, I know, what this conference is about, that we'll experience after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you moments. Because when that happens, we are witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Cary, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. How many believe that this amazing church can be an apostolic church that impacts Cary and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth? I believe that today, that God places anointed churches in very strategic areas that become churches that impact not only the community that they're in, but their state in the United States and other nations. And so we're believing that here for this amazing community of faith. But I know you're ready for the Word. Would you take your Bibles? Turn with me to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans chapter 10. And we will also look at Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9. So you might want to just have that passage ready. I'm a big believer in note-taking, so I really want to encourage you to take notes this afternoon on your phone or in your Bible or on a notepad, because we want to seal what God speaks to us in our spirit, not just today, but tomorrow and through the rest of the week. I know sociologists tell us that we forget about 90% of what we've heard in 3 days' time, in 72 hours. But I believe when the Holy Spirit seals something in our heart, we don't forget it. At the district convention just a few weeks ago, I preached the messages on living as a house of prayer for the nations, talking about how important it is for us to live as a house of prayer, that you are a house of prayer, that I am a house of prayer, that we are called. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? Well, I thought about, Pastor, today, the important truth of coming out of that understanding of living as a house of prayer for the nations, the idea of spiritual hearing and spiritual declarations. And so I want to follow up those messages from the convention with talking to you today about spiritual hearing. Probably the most important aspect to develop your relationship with God in prayer is spiritual hearing. How you hear from God, what He's saying to you, how you're aligning your life with what He's speaking to you, how you're following His voice, how you're following His word. What is He speaking to you, and are you obeying what He's speaking to you to do? And so today we're going to talk about spiritual hearing because our very faith depends on it. In fact, Romans 10:17 echoes that very idea that our very faith depends on spiritual hearing. Romans 10:17, do you want to stand and honor the reading of God's word as we read this one verse? So then faith comes by. So our faith depends upon it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to just ask you this question today. The title of the message, what are you hearing? And we're just going to use the biblical idea, who has ears to hear. So, Father, we come to you right now and we ask you to speak to us. We are excited about what we're getting ready to hear in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that prayer, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Isn't this an amazing verse to marinate in, just to take a few minutes and do a deeper dive, that faith comes by hearing? And you would think that the Apostle Paul would just move right quickly through that without emphasizing that word hearing. Wouldn't it just be okay for the Word of God to say faith comes by hearing the Word of God? Would seem like that would be what is needed. Just faith comes by hearing the word of God. And yet, there is specific emphasis concerning what I believe the Apostle Paul was trying to declare to us, because he reiterates or he repeats the word hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. He's trying to emphasize something, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, if we reverse engineer, we know that the very beginning point is not faith, but it is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God produces hearing. We're just getting the sequence right, all right? We're just going to make sure the biblical sequence is accurate. So the Word of God produces hearing, and hearing produces faith. So we understand that hearing comes from the Word. Now, isn't it interesting that the English word of God, just simply identifies that as word, and yet in the Greek, it can be used in two ways. It can either be logos or rhema. Logos means the written word. Rhema means the declarative or the spoken or the utterance of God, the Word of God. Would anybody like to guess which word is used here in Romans 10:17? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the declarative utterance of God. Powerful. Now, if we turn over to Matthew chapter 8, we're going to look at a particular reference that's going to help us with understanding this idea of what are you hearing. And we're going to look at a paralytic. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. We often know this particular event as the event with the centurion. And it's intriguing because the centurion isn't a Jewish believer. He's a Roman. And in Matthew 8 and 5, we read, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.'" How many know that you can be paralyzed not just in body, but in mind? "And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.'" I love that about Jesus, because he always loves to heal, to provide for us. "The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word.'" I love the old King James. It says, just say something. Just say the word, "and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Oh, that Jesus would say that about us. "I have not found such great faith, not even in all of Ohio." Then Jesus said to the centurion, if you drop down to verse 13, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Now today, I'm not going to give you just regular points to the message, like one potato, two potato, three potato, four. But what I do want to do is I want to give you a phrase that you can build off of. Something that I believe can change the trajectory of our lives if it becomes a way of life. And the first part of the phrase is simply this: God will say it. God will say it. I'm so glad that God is still speaking today. Isn't it exciting to know that the Lord is still speaking to us? Matthew 10:27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So in other words, those of us who are hearing his voice, we're knowing him and we're following him. Now, he may not speak in an audible voice. Very rarely does he speak in an audible voice. But he does speak to us in the inner sanctum of our hearts. He's constantly whispering his word, his truth, his guidance in our hearts. What's amazing to me about the centurion is that he has an epiphany that all Jesus needs to do is just say it. Lord, if you'll just say the word, just say it, and my servant will be healed. God will say it. He has this understanding because he's in authority that you can say to this one, go, and he'll go, and to another, come, and he'll come, and to this one, do this, and that person will do it. And so he brings that approach into his faith, and he accepts the understanding in his faith that all Jesus needs to do is just say it. And my servant will be healed. Oh, that we could come to the point in our faith with God that we would just accept God at his word. That whatever he says to do, we'll just do that. That if he says something to us, we'll just obey that. But sometimes we have this "but Lord" syndrome thing going on. And he'll speak and whisper to us, I want you to stop right now and share your faith with your neighbor. And we'll say, "But Lord, I'm on my way to work," or "I'm on my way to the grocery store," or I'm on my way to get gas. I mean, come on, Lord. Can I do this another time? It's not like my neighbor is going anywhere. Lord. And he'll speak to us and we'll have the "but Lord" syndrome. Or we'll be out to eat and we'll hear the Lord whisper and say, I want you to give that waitress a $100 tip. But Lord, what are you talking about? I don't have $100 to tip this waitress. And I mean, look, she looks like she's doing great. Wouldn't it be amazing if the Lord would speak to us and we would just like the centurion, just say it. Lord, just speak the word and my son will be healed. Just speak the word and my daughter will be healed. Just speak the word and my neighbor will come to know you. Just speak the word and our church will be revived. Just speak the word and your kingdom will come and your will be done in our midst. Just speak the word. God will say it. But what are you hearing? Who has ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us? I think the Roman centurion understood something that we need to grab a hold of today, and it's this, that what God says is more important than what we see. Because we're always limiting ourselves by what we see. That's why the name it and blame it and grab it and blab it and grab it group, they're way off base. They're extremist. Because it's not what we say, it's what God says. We don't get what we see, we get what God says. So we can see a new car or a new house or a new job, and we can start saying, God, give us that new car. God, give us that new job. Give us that new house. But ultimately, we don't get what we see. We get what God says. Just say the word. And that's what I'll receive. Just say the word. It's the revelation of a thing before the manifestation of a thing. We're going to experience something when God says something. Isn't it interesting that God will say it and then display it? That's the second part that I want you to write down. God will say it and then display it. Look through the scripture and you'll see the same thing. God will say it and then display it. God will say, "Let there be light." And then he'll display it. And it was so. God will say it. He'll say it to the prophets. For unto us, for unto you is born, for unto us, let me get this verse right. He'll say it to the prophets. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the governor shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then he'll display it in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem those who were under the law. He'll say it and then display it. He'll say it. I want you to go to Jerusalem, disciples, and I want you to tarry until you're endued with power from on high. And then he'll display it. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon them. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance, because they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, because God will say it and then he'll display it. That's why we can get excited about what's getting ready to come. Yeah. Even with what's going on in our world. Because God will say it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you might be also. And then he will display it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. God will say it and then display it. God will say to the centurion, "I'm going to heal your servant." In that selfsame hour, he will heal the centurion, because the revelation of a thing precedes the manifestation of a thing. It's not what we see, it's what God says. Isn't it interesting that the word revelation in the New Testament is actually the Greek word apocalypsis? Think about that for just a moment. It's where we get our English word apocalyptic. And I'm telling you, if you're studying what is happening in the nation of Israel right now, and what is going on in the Middle East with Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran funding this war, and if you're understanding that Iran is threatening to directly get involved in the war, which would involve other nations in the Middle East, it's setting things up for the rapture of the church. Because before the armies of the north come to face off against Israel, the church, by way of calendar events in Scripture, has already been raptured. So this is an apocalyptic moment, possibly, where the signs of the times are setting us up for a rapid acceleration of apocalypsis, apocalyptic moments. Revelation moments. But the word revelation means apocalypsis or apocalyptic, because God rolls back the curtain, or he unveils what it is that he's wanting to manifest in the world or in our lives. So when we have apocalyptic moments, God unveils or rolls back the curtain, we hear, we experience what he is revealing to us, and then he manifests what his plans and purposes are through us. And isn't it intriguing that Jesus looks at this centurion who isn't even a Jewish believer, and he says, I've not found so great a faith in all of Israel. I have not found so great a faith, great faith, because the paralytic ended up receiving healing through the great faith of the Roman centurion. What's that say to you and me today? That says that our faith matters. Your faith matters. Your faith could be the very revelation, apocalyptic unveiling of God in somebody else's life that will produce salvation, healing, and deliverance. Not my faith, your faith. Not the faith of the person sitting next to you, but your faith could be the very miracle that will set the captive free. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed you to set the captives free. He has anointed you for the recovery of the blinded eyes of those who need to see, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But how many of us don't understand that there's more than one pulpit in the church? So we think that there's only one pulpit here in Cary, when there are hundreds and thousands of pulpits in this city. Isn't it sad, Pastor, that pulpits are vacant because we're not hearing what God is speaking to us to do in our neighborhoods and in our workplace and in our marketplace and in our communities and in our cities? Isn't it sad that someone's apocalyptic moment is not coming to them because we have vacated our pulpit? That God has called me to preach the gospel, called you to preach the gospel, called you to lay hands on the sick that they should recover, called you to declare God's word in season with the tongue of the learned, that God has called you, and yet our pulpit remains vacant because we don't understand that our faith is involved in somebody else's freedom and liberty. If we're not using our pulpit, somebody is still in prison. If we're not using our pulpit, somebody's already been trapped in a dark house and can't get the light of Jesus Christ into that place. If we have vacated our pulpit, somebody's already feeling like they're in hell before they've even gotten there, because our pulpit has been vacated. It's empty. And it's our faith. What are you hearing? Who has ears to hear? Let them hear. What is God speaking to you? What is God doing in you? What is God saying to you? What God is saying to you is the very miracle that needs to be unleashed in somebody's life for an apocalyptic moment. Ay, 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 shebeshto bokoste beheste. Nanda bashata bahaste. I'm wondering if God is saddened by our empty pulpits because our spiritual hearing is so important. That's why he doesn't say, who has eyes to see, let them see. He says, who has ears to hear, let them hear. Our text doesn't say faith comes by seeing and seeing by the word of God, but faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. What are you hearing? God will say it and then display it as we hear it. That's the third part. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to close with this next event of the paralytic. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to deal with the last two phrases of this sentence. But this idea, as we hear it, is so important. Because in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 9, right at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus is confronted by another paralytic. So he heals the paralytic in chapter 8. And now in chapter 9, right at the beginning, he's preaching in this house that is completely filled with people. No one can get into the house. And then all of a sudden, there's this commotion on the roof. Think about that. You're inside the house. You're listening to Jesus speak and preach. And all of a sudden, there's this utter commotion on the top of the house, and mud and straw is being thrown everywhere. It's getting in your hair. Ladies, you're getting mud and straw in your hair. You're just sitting there wanting to listen to Jesus, and this roof is being demolished because there's this paralytic on a stretcher. The hole has to be big enough to get this full-grown person through the roof of the house to Jesus. Think about that. Jesus is preaching, and not one time do you ever see Jesus get upset and angry and say, what are you doing up there? Be quiet. The people were looking at the mess. Jesus was already looking at the miracle.
Yep.
The people were concerned about the mess. Jesus was concerned about the miracle. Oh, I don't have time to preach that right now. Seeing the miracle in the mess. But Jesus always sees the miracle in the midst of the mess. Can we just read it? Because there's only five verses, but I want you to hear what happens. This is absolutely astonishing. Because it says, verse 1, so we got into a boat, crossed over and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Then behold, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic. Now understand that we don't get all the details in Matthew. Mark gives us all those wonderful details about the four friends up on the roof in Mark 2, and Luke does the same in Luke 5, but it's the same event. And we read, when Jesus saw their faith, what did he see? When Jesus saw their faith, I'm telling you, sometimes we don't have faith for ourselves. And we need people who will have faith on our behalf. People who will say, I don't care what it takes, I'm going to get my friend somehow up on the roof of this house and somehow get a hole big enough to get my friend to Jesus. A while back, I had this cyst on my wrist that was about the size of a grape. And one morning, I was just kind of doing the woe is me thing and saying, I wish this thing, I don't know what to do with this thing. And my wife, Kimberly, got frustrated, and she just grabbed my wrist and started praying the prayer of faith. And when she let it go, it was gone. I didn't have faith for myself at that moment, but somebody else had faith for me. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, arise and walk." Is that what he said? That's what the paralytic was hoping he would say. But that's not what he said. He said, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." What he wanted to hear, somebody's already ahead of me. What he wanted to hear, he didn't hear. What are you hearing? Are you hearing what you want to hear? Or are you hearing what Jesus is really saying? You say, well, how do you know the difference? How do you know when it's Jesus speaking to you or when it's you speaking to you? How do you know the difference? Well, I can tell you one of the ways you know is whether it's strengthening your spirit or strengthening your flesh. Because if it's encouraging and comforting your flesh, it's probably not God. You think if he says to you, "I want you to stop and share your faith with your neighbor," that's you? Probably not. Because your flesh is not going to ask you to put everything aside so you can stop and share your faith with someone. Do you think hearing, "I want you to give the waitress $100 is you? Probably not. Because you're not going to let go of $100 just because you hear a voice say, "Give the waitress $100. But maybe the $100 is really not for the waitress. Maybe, what are you hearing? Maybe, who has ears to hear? Maybe, God is wanting to see if you will strengthen your spirit and obey what he's calling you to do, discerning between the flesh and the spirit. Because when it's your spirit, it's not going to comfort your flesh. It's not going to make it convenient on your flesh. When it's your spirit, you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone and do something that your flesh is not really comfortable doing. Jesus looks at him and he says, "Son, be happy. Your sins are forgiven you." That's really not what he was wanting to hear. And then immediately we start hearing the religious leaders in the next verse speaking to themselves. In the very next verse it says, "And at once," verse 3, "some of the scribes said within themselves, don't miss this, said within themselves, they were hearing God, but they weren't hearing God. They were hearing Jesus, but they weren't hearing Jesus. They said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to arise and walk? The religious leaders knew the answer. It was really simple. It was easier for Jesus to say, arise and walk, because that was something on the outside. Your sins are forgiven you was something on the inside. It was easier to say, rise and walk, because that only had to do with the natural. But only Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, could look at someone on the inside and say, your sins are forgiven you. So when Jesus declared that, he was literally stepping to the plate and declaring that he was the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach. And I'm declaring that your sins are forgiven you. Let me ask the same question today. What's easier for Jesus to say? Arise and walk, or your sins are forgiven you? The answer is the same. It's easier for Jesus to say, arise and walk, because that just deals with the natural. But salvation and forgiveness of sin has to deal with the spirit, with the inside. Just saying, rise up and walk, has to do with the right now, your earthly existence. But your sins are forgiven you has to do with your eternal existence. Did you know that Jesus literally wants to heal you from the inside out? Somebody just had an apocalypsis moment. Somebody just had a breakthrough moment in your spirit. The trajectory of your spiritual life has changed because you're grasping the idea that God wants to speak to you on the inside first. That the revelation of a thing precedes the manifestation of a thing. That God wants to heal you first from the inside out. He wants to forgive your sins so he can heal your body and heal your mind and heal everything about you. His paramount important idea for you is transformation from the inside out. The Bible talks about it as being spiritually minded instead of being carnally minded. For to be carnally minded is sin and death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because your carnal mind will always try to contradict the word of God that's being spoken to you. Your carnal mind will say to you, the word of God doesn't work. See, you weren't physically healed yet. So the word of God doesn't work. But your spiritual mind will say, that's not what he says. That's what I see, but that's not what he says. What he says is, I will hasten my word to perform it. But you are still in the stretcher. You're still paralyzed. You're still laying on the stretcher. I know that's what I see, but that's not what he says. What he says is, arise and walk. What he says is, your sins are forgiven you. But your promise is so far away, it's almost like your promise is further away from you now than when you started. It's not what I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
It's what he says.
Yeah. Come on.
And he said.
Yeah. Come on.
He will be confident to complete what he started in me. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But look at you. Look at your son. Look at your daughter. They're not even serving the Lord. Hey, that's not what I see. It's what he says. And he said, train up a child in the way of the Lord, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But look, you're still sick. Not what I see. I see the cyst. But what he says is, by his stripes, I am healed. What are you hearing? Who has ears to hear? What is he speaking? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the declarative utterance, the rhema word of God. What are you hearing? God will say it and then display it as we hear it. And guess what? God can speak to us at any time. He can speak to you right now while you're seated right here in this auditorium. He can speak to you while you're stopped at a red light. He can speak to you while you're mowing the lawn in the backyard. He can speak to you in a hospital room, in a classroom, in a bedroom, in a crack room. Pastor friend of mine told me about one of the young girls in their church who was in a crack house. And God spoke to her and said, choose you this day, life or death. She was as high as a kite in a crack house, and God spoke to her and said, choose today, life or death. She got her cell phone out. She called her dad, and her dad came and picked her up and took her to church, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ because God spoke to her in a crack house. God can speak to you. Are you hearing? What are you hearing? Stand with me today. I was thinking, Pastor Joe, about this time together this afternoon. And I tell you, this has been revelational for me over the last couple of weeks, that we have too many vacated pulpits. It's been just piercing my heart that we have too many vacant pulpits because we're hearing from the Lord and we're not responding to what we've heard. Yeah. What are you hearing? What is God speaking to your heart to do? Is it something that's uncomfortable to your flesh? Probably so. Is it something that's going to strengthen your spirit? Absolutely. If you are obedient to the word of God and you become a doer of the word that you're hearing, the utterance of God, then you're going to strengthen your spirit. Your life will be transformed. You will release people who are in prison. You will step up and speak the word that will set the captive free. Today I'm looking at people who have the greatest message that has ever been preached inside of you. Did you know that? You have the greatest message that's ever been preached inside of you for somebody else, for their freedom, for their liberty, to set the captive free. And that's why we need to be refueled and renewed and filled up so that we, as a representative and ambassador of Jesus Christ, can make a difference in someone's life. I want to ask you, if you would today, just to lift your hearts and your hands toward heaven, and would you just begin to tell the Lord right now, Lord, I want to hear what you're saying. I want to respond. I want to align my life with what you're saying to me. I want to have faith that comes by hearing, and hearing that comes by the word of God. May your declarative voice become loud on the inside of me. I want you just to tell him that right now. Lord, may your voice become loud inside of me. May I hear your voice, and may my hearing produce faith to step behind my pulpit at any moment of the day to be able to set the captive free through your power in Jesus Christ. God, help me right now to hear what you're saying. Those of you with your hands up right now, those that are continuing to pray, if you feel like there's some kind of barrier between you and Jesus, you feel like a roof is there, your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, bouncing off the roof, and you just can't seem to get to Jesus, I want you to do whatever it takes this morning. If that's kneeling where you are, if that's finding a place of prayer at the altar, if that's walking through the sanctuary, if you feel like there's a barrier that you just can't seem to get to Jesus, I want you to do whatever it takes. If it takes getting some friends who will gather around you and pray, who will lift you up to Jesus, whatever it takes, get through that barrier today. Have faith to declare the word of God in the name of Jesus. God, I pray it right now in Jesus' name. Those who are here who feel like they're in an empty spiritual tank moment. For some reason, they're not filled. There's a barrier, and they need to be refueled. God, I pray that you would fill them up in Jesus' name, that you would fill up their spirit, fill up their soul. May their faith become fervent and vibrant and radiant in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Filled, 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 filled. And be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled, filled, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Filled, filled. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. God, filled, filled. Fill us, fill us, fill us, fill us, fill us. Renewed, 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 restored. Restored, renewed, 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 filled, 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 filled. more vacant, no more vacant pulpits. No more vacant pulpits. Whatever needs to be given to the Lord, give it to the Lord right now. If he were to come right now, if he were to come today, and you know that there's something that you're embarrassed by, now's the time to give it to Jesus. If he were to come right now and you know that you're doing something that would embarrass him, this is the time to give it to Jesus. Get rid of the barrier between you and him. Say, Lord, forgive me. God, here I am. Heal me from the inside out. Save me from the inside out. It's okay. We're all on a spiritual journey. He just wants you to give it to him. Open up the airways. Remove whatever is the hindrance. No more vacant pulpits. No more vacant pulpits. Lord, I want to thank you today for your people who are tuning in to hear your voice. I thank you for a hearing people this afternoon. I thank you, God, for people who have ears to hear, hearts to understand, and eyes to see. God, I pray over these next few hours as this word is sealed in our hearts. Even tonight, God, before bed or during the night or in the morning, God, that we will be attentive to hear your voice. We pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. God will say it and then display it as we hear it.